Welcome to the Conversations with Christians Engaged podcast. I'm your host, Bunny Pounds, the president of Christians Engaged. This ministry exists to awaken, motivate, educate, and empower ordinary believers in Jesus Christ to do three things: to pray for our elected officials and our nation regularly, to vote in every election to impact our culture, and to engage in some form of civic education or involvement for the well-being of our nation.
So thankful, Bunny, for what you do. A lot of people talk the talk, but you really walk the walk.
I love it, love it. Love teaming up with you, Bunny. So excited about what you're doing and the people you're reaching.
And I will stand and lock arms with this woman of God, Bunny Pounds, any day of the week.
Bunny, you are a new hero of mine.
America is worth it. Now is the time. America needs your involvement. Please take our pledge to pray, vote, and engage. Join with a movement of other Christians that are doing these three simple things that can really impact this nation. Join us. Well, we're here talking about issues that the church is not paying attention to. I'm Bunny Pounds, the president of Christians Engaged. Welcome to the Conversations with Christians Engaged podcast. And check out this cool set. Kevin Freeman, we are here at Economic War Room, his incredible set. Kevin, thanks for inviting me onto your amazing set here.
Well, Bunny, thanks for asking me onto your advisory board.
Yes, Kevin serves on our advisory board for Christians Engaged, and his lovely wife, Marnie, serves on our governing board, and we are so thankful for them. I think the day I met you guys was one of the greatest days for myself personally, because y'all have become such great friends. And I love how Tracy Bradford introduced us, and then the rest is history. Thank you, Tracy. I give you lots of props for that. But we are talking about issues that the church is not paying attention to this month, Kevin, and there are so many issues that we're not paying attention to. You have been one of the leading experts on issues of economic warfare and financial terrorism. You have consulted with members of Congress, people in the Defense Department, all throughout our government. You co-founded National Security Investment Consultant Institute. Did I get that right?
You did.
Woohoo! So to help financial advisors really take care of people's monies correctly and make sure they're investing in pro-American and pro-Christian causes, talk to us about, from your perspective as a man of faith and a Christian, what are we not paying attention to? You know what we're not paying attention to. Give us the lowdown of what we're not paying attention to.
Well, we have foreign threats and we have domestic threats. And we're not paying attention to either one of them. We're thinking, I mean, really wonderful Christian people say, well, I'm just going to go to church and I'm going to go to work and I'm going to take care of my family. And occasionally we might see a movie and we might eat out. But what they're missing is the attacks that are coming on our nation, whether they're foreign from China or whether they're domestic in the form of inflation even.
Oh, yeah.
And they're watching our buying power just dissipate. And we're saying, wow, we're getting tighter and tighter and tighter in our budget. Maybe we should cut our tithe. Maybe we should do, you know, all sorts of things. So the two threats are the foreign threat and the domestic threat. And from my perspective, they're both economic.
And you wrote a whole bunch of books. You have an amazing book, Secret Weapon, Game Plan, and then one of your recent ones that I just loved on really the sabotage of America from the elite, Secret Plan, According to Plan, is called. Talk to us about why it is such a passion for you to wake up people in our country on some of these threats. What are the elites doing we're not paying attention to?
What you see, I think Gen Z's proud of their country is down to 16%. I'm at the tail end of the baby boomer, and 73% of baby boomers are proud to be Americans. 16% from Generation Z. How did that happen? I can tell you, just talking to our mutual friend, Rick Green, and Marxist strategies infiltrated the education system.
Yeah.
And they're training America's evil, America's bad. It was founded by bad people. That's all gone into education. So why are they doing that? Well, because they're part of this World Economic Forum, one world government, one world currency, kind of thing you read about in the end of our book, the Bible, is where the Antichrist rises. These people are wanting to replace the Bible with artificial intelligence created neutral religion. And they want to make their own Bible that AI will. Well, people aren't paying attention to that. They're not noticing that. They're not realizing that the domestic enemy is wanting to strip our kids from their faith in God, strip our kids from their love of America, from their love for their parents. And that's in the education system. When we have drag queen story hours being promoted in libraries across the country, and that one of the top librarians in the country saying, hey, and here's how we keep Kirk Cameron out with his book, because he's a Christian and we can't let him talk, but oh my goodness, we have to have men dressing like women reading stories and being provocative and dance and all this.
And having classes at Christian universities, Texas Christian University, right?
Yeah, they say the C can be as big or as little as you want it to be when they when you walk through campus. It's like, no, no, if the C, Christ, is not the largest and most important thing in your life, then you're not Christian.
Right. So what do we do? How do we fight back against the domestic threats?
We wake people up. We weaponize our money, our giving, spending, and investing. We mobilize. I love, again, what Christians Engage is doing. What Christians Engage does is say, hey, look, the political realm that you thought might be too dirty to get involved in, we can't do that. No, that's actually a mission field. It's actually a place that you can express your values. You know, nobody said, well, we can't go to this third world country because it's too dirty to share the gospel. They said, no, we need to do that. But when they look at politics, oh, it's too dirty, I can't get involved in that. No, no, you've proven to people, you don't have to be partisan, you have to be a believer.
Wow. I just got done reading a story about a missionary couple that went to India, and they're, you know, living in India and they're learning the language and all that. And this was after my whole process of writing my book, Jesus and Politics. And I was thinking, like, making that co-relationship with the idea that, you know, I was infiltrating the government realm, right? With these members of Congress and elected officials I worked for, that we really do that in all parts of our life. We have to live out our faith and be missionaries in that place. So, Kevin, I know you guys have been working on a bill in the Texas legislature and other places to really make sure that our money is protected. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, that's one of like 10 strategies we have. You're at Liberty Hawk Ranch, and we use it all the time for godly things like with Christians Engage, but we use it for training financial advisors like the NSIC Institute that you mentioned. We had a group here on artificial intelligence, so we're training conservative groups how to use artificial intelligence so we can fight back on this, you know, we're going to retranslate the Bible. Actually, we're going to win people to Christ with artificial intelligence. And one of our biggest is transactional gold, and that is to take money back to sound monetary principles that were laid out in the Bible. Mm-hmm. In the Bible, it's gold, silver, and sometimes copper. That's the only form of money. Well, in the United States, it is a dirty green piece of paper with a dead president on it. Is this really money, or is this this escuela, which is a gold coin? Which is real money? Under God's standards, this could be a false weight measure, and this is actual money.
Mm. So what do we do?
Well, so we had this bill in the Texas legislature that we would appropriate Article 1, Section 10. It says the federal government has a right to print money. They can emit bills of credit. They can coin money. State can only do one thing. They can make gold and silver coins tender within a state. So here's an example. This is called a Spanish milled dollar. It's called milled because it was produced on a machine. This is 1783, and you can see the ridges around it.
Wow.
As opposed to prior to that time, you know, 100 years before, they would just pound out a certain weight of silver and say, this is a coin, but then people would cheat and cut off a little bit and you couldn't tell. So this is a Spanish milled dollar. This is an escuela. Eight of these would make a gold doubloon.
Mm.
This is pirate money. This is pirate money. It is called a piece of eight and a gold doubloon. Why they call it a piece of eight? Because you could divide it into eight pie-shaped pieces, and they were worth about 12 and a half cents each. This is what our Continental Congress declared money. In fact, the Continental Congress printed, this is from 1776, Philadelphia. And this is, it says, this bill entitles the bearer to receive 4 Spanish milled dollars or the value thereof in gold and silver, according to a resolution of Congress in Philadelphia, November 1776.
Wow.
So this was, by the way, our government didn't have the gold and silver to back it up. This was a promissory note that they couldn't keep their promise on. It's also known as a continental. And in olden time phrase, it was, it's not worth a continental.
I remember that, yeah.
That phrase meant that there was nothing behind it. So the Constitution says, we're not doing that anymore. We're going to have real money backed by gold and silver. And if a state wants money, it has to be gold and silver. And so the bills that we put out in the state did something similar to this. This is from the Bank of Kentucky. This is a 12.5-cent note from 1836. And it basically said that if you have this, you could take it in and you could get a piece of 8. 1/8 mm-hmm. of the Spanish milled dollar. That's where the whole term. So I've written a new book. It'll be out shortly, called Pirate Money. And it's all about the history of money and what we can do with this bill in order to bring economic justice back. It's like finding a hidden treasure that's in the Constitution, and where states can make gold and silver coin legal tender. But not just that. You can make it with a debit card. So you put your gold and silver on deposit at the Texas Bullion Depository in Leander. And then if you want to spend that, you can go out in the community and use it like a MasterCard, a debit card, and spend your gold and silver. In other words, it's a store of value. Money has 3 functions. It should be a store of value, a means of exchange, and a unit of account. Those are the 3 things that money is. Well, this coin is a unit of account. There's one, but it's a very poor unit of account, because if I went and bought a $2 cup of coffee and this coin's probably, silver content's probably worth $25, I couldn't get change. You know, what would I do? Shave off a little bit and hand it to him. But if we put it in the bullion depository and keep electronic track of it, kind of like Bitcoin does.
Yeah, yeah.
Or kind of like your checking account does. Your checking account, mm-hmm. you have electronic tracking of it. We would be able to make gold and silver coins, literally money again, that would protect against inflation. Because this is interesting. If you had, in 1918, you wanted to buy 5 gallons of gas for your car, it would take 10 dimes, a dollar, could buy 5 gallons of gas. If I told you today, Bunny, if you have 10 dimes, I will sell you 5 gallons of gas. You look at me and say, you're nuts. Well, a dime then was 90% silver, and the silver content of those 10 dimes
wow.
is worth maybe $20 approximately. Can you buy 5 gallons of gas for $20?
Yep.
Absolutely. So money that is gold and silver holds its value. 1 ounce of gold in the year 1918, I'll just pick that year, would buy a fine man suit. I mean, a really nice, a Brioni type suit. Well, $2,000 will buy you a fine man suit today, and that's about what an ounce of gold costs. Gold and silver, biblically, are real money. They hold their value. So they're a unit of account, they're a means of exchange, and a store of value. And that's what we wanted to do with these Texas bills, and we're going to keep fighting until we get them passed.
Well, you know, what I love about you, Kevin, is that you don't just like wring your hands and tell us about all the problems, which there are many. And if you read Kevin's books, which you should, you're going to get a real picture of what's going on in the world, because so often we want to just stick our head in the sand and not see the truth. But you also give us action plans. So here at Economic War Room, every week when you have a show, you give an action plan, right, of what we as individual citizens in this country can do. Why is that so important for you to give us an action plan?
Well, because I get sick of the talking heads on television that just get you riled up and they just get you upset. And their purpose, that doesn't take you closer to God. You just get mad and upset. When you're mad and upset, you can't hear God.
Right.
So, but when you're doing something for the kingdom, I love heroic stories. I mean, I love stories of heroes. In fact, when we finish, I'd like to show you my letter I've got from Fast Eddie Rickenbacker that's hanging on the wall out there. He didn't write me because I was too young, you know, when he passed away to have even known him. But he wrote a letter where he was helping someone. But the story I love about Fast Eddie is when he was a kid, his dad got killed in a accident at work. Actually, he got in a fight and got killed by another coworker. Eddie was a no good. He really was a bad kid. Bad seed, bad kid. But his mom came to him and said, "You're the man of the house now, Eddie. You have got to right now step up and provide for your family." And that kid straightened up. He had an action plan. And he said, "You know what I want to do? I want to work on cars." So he took a mechanics course. Correspondence.
Wow.
Like they'd send him stuff in the mail and he'd read about how to fix cars. Now keep in mind, this is the early 20th century. This is 1910, 1920, right in that time period. He learned to fix cars. He liked it so much he got to meet Harvey Firestone, you know, Firestone Tires and all that. Firestone said, "Hey kid, you want to learn to race a car?" So he learned to race. He set the world land speed record in 1924. He was the fastest man on earth. This ne'er-do-well kid turned out, and he was making the equivalent of $1 million a year.
Wow.
But then he got confronted with a new problem, and that new problem was World War I. And World War I, he decided, you know what, I've got to go fight. And he went to fight in World War I. He got over there, found out he was a mechanic, found out he was a fast race car driver. And it wasn't 1924, it was 1914, I got to correct myself. When he set the world land speed record. But he goes over there and he meets General Pershing. He meets this guy named Billy Mitchell, who's running the Army Air Corps. And Billy says, "Hey, come fix my airplanes." And the general says, "General, will you teach me to fly?" "No, no, no, no. You don't have the college education. You're not the right type. You know, the Harvard and Oxford kids, they won't accept you there." And he said, "Well, I'll fix your airplanes if you teach me to fly."
Way to barter.
Learn to fly. He became Eddie Rickenbacker, the World War I flying ace, the most successful American pilot.
Wow.
Then the new problem comes, the Great Depression. Then the new problem comes, World War II. Every time there was a problem, Fast Eddie calculated a solution, and that's what heroes do. And so all my life, from being a little kid, reading comic books, and I've always wanted to be a hero, and I wanted to be, like Fast Eddie, just to give you one more problem, Fast Eddie was asked by President Roosevelt to travel to meet with Douglas MacArthur in the in Australia after he'd just been left the Philippines and went to Australia. And on the en route, they missed their refueling stop and the plane had to ditch in the ocean.
Wow.
24 days, a guy in his 50s sitting there in a life raft with a bunch of young kids trying to stay alive. And you know what he did? He taught them all about Jesus. And he prayed, and God poured forth rain, and they were starving, and he prayed, and a seagull landed on his head, and he captured it, wrung its neck, and they ate seagull, kept him alive. For the rest of his life, anytime he got near the seashore, that man would go feed the seagulls because they had fed him.
Wow.
So I
what
love
an
heroes.
Story.
I love heroes, and I want to do things that are steps of action so that we can do the right thing and we can honor God.
That's who we all should be as believers. There's something in us that I believe definitely, you know, just having the breath of God in us as humans, right? We're naturally entrepreneurial or creating, but the enemy wants to do everything he can to stifle that in our life and to just have us exist. Right. And so that's what I love about you.
Focus on what do I need? What are people giving me? What are people doing for me? Why aren't they doing this for me? Why am I not getting this? Instead, we ought to be talking about, hey, how can I be a hero?
Yes.
And God, give me the opportunities. And if we will do that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he's going to make everything else work out for us.
Amen. Amen. Okay. So we've got domestic threats and then we've got foreign threats. I believe the church is not paying attention to what's happening in China and really decades of what the Republic of China is trying to do with our country. Can you talk about that as a leading expert of China?
Well, I'll just give you a little background. I've got this book, Unrestricted Warfare. This was published in 1999, China's Master Plan to Destroy America.
Wow.
The Chinese people are wonderful people. Let me get that straight. But the Chinese Communist Party is evil. They were evil in 1999 when this book was published. They're evil today. They're evil in that they are taking people and live human organ harvesting, mostly the Uyghur people, which are the Chinese Muslim population, and they keep them alive to take another organ. Well, yeah. We'll take your eyes first, and then we'll take your liver, and then they keep them alive as much as they can, and then they sell them. So this is, when I say they're evil, I mean they are evil. This book was written when the Chinese economy was one-tenth the size of the American economy, roughly the same size of Italy's economy, kind of about the same size of the Texas economy is today in the world. I mean, they were not a major nation. But it talks about stealing intellectual property. Mm-hmm. It talks about getting us hooked on their goods, getting manufacturers to move the plants there because the labor is cheap, and then stealing the manufacturing.
Wow.
Talks about hacking and doing all the various things. Talks about biological warfare. It talks about so many things, co-opting politicians to where you can get a politician to on being paid by you through their family. Gosh, this is almost matching the headlines today. This is what China has been doing for almost a quarter century. And
wow.
We, all the church is guilty, the government's guilty, everybody. Well, isn't it wonderful the Chinese people are, they're more capitalist than we are. That's what I heard 15 years ago when I was warning about this. And then I would say, look, this is an evil nation. And I said, oh, no, no. I had a man come up to me after I spoke and said, oh, no, no, no. The Chinese Communist Party, they're more Christian than we are. I was like, what do you mean they're more Christian? Oh, they're just against the cults. They're really in favor of Christian churches. I said, that is simply not true. Well, the man actually has a Chinese wife who works for the People's Liberation Army in China, and he was sent to find anybody who said anything against the government, confront them. Anyway, he said, oh, no, no, they support churches. That's not true. They've been tearing churches down.
Exactly.
They're anti any religion other than the worship of the Chinese Communist Party. That is a threat the Christian nation is not aware of, and we have funded it. We have funded it. Go pick up things, and you know, I'll pick up a coffee mug that I had made. The economic war room, I look on the bottom of it, it's made in China.
Mm.
We're not manufacturing much of anything here, and we've sold out. And the reason we've sold out is we've made money the more important thing. We've said, well,
profit.
It's a little bit cheaper to get it in China, so I'll buy it in China. Well, Marnie and I tried that once. She's an artist, and we ordered some things from China. They were terrible. We instead have decided everything's going to be made here in the USA. And so that is one of the things the church is unaware of, how much money we've been sending to China to make the 10th largest economy in the world, now second largest and closing in on America. And it's our fault. We've done that.
Well, we've got Chinese interests now buying land, right? And just so many things we could go into all the nuances of this, but you know, okay, say you've got an average Christian that's waking up to this and going, you know what, I want to protect my nation. I want to make sure that China isn't ruling our life, you know, and how do we deal with this as individuals, Kevin? And then we have our federal government, you know, in debt to their eyeballs, right?
Right.
I mean, a trillion is nothing anymore. We just keep racking it up, and who holds most of the notes on that? Is China.
Well, you know, it's interesting. China, when George Bush left office, we had about $10 trillion worth of debt, and China held $1 trillion of it, or one-tenth, 10% of our debt. Mm-hmm. Now we have $33 trillion in debt, and while they are among the largest foreign holders still, it's only about $850 billion. It's about 3% of our total foreign debt. They've actually been divesting from America in preparation for a full-on economic war.
Oh, wow.
So they've been getting, it is less and less of an impact to them. Now, unfortunately, they have infiltrated many aspects of our government, and I'm sorry to say, you look at and see examples. I mean, let's just say people went after President Trump and said, well, he was tied to Russia. Well, there's evidence of China throughout our modern history. They gave money to Bill Clinton for his reelection campaign in 1996. They got caught. This isn't a conspiracy theory. It's in the New York Times, Washington Post, LA Times. They gave him millions of dollars. They've been infiltrating our politics. And when you see what's going on with the president's son and the laptop, and he's like, oh my gosh, it looks like there's influence purchasing. If it's not there, it's somewhere else. They've been buying influence. And the problem is that we've been modeling after them. They've created social credit scores. And if you don't do what the government wants you to do, you won't be able to buy a plane ticket. You won't be able to buy food. You won't be able to travel or gasoline. Well, we're trying to create that with the central bank digital currency. And by the way, if you don't support this transgender movement, or if you don't believe in this that the government's pushing, even if it goes against your Christian principles, we'll just cut you off from your finances.
Yep.
You'll get kicked out of your bank.
Okay, so I, you know, kind of hit this quandary myself. How do I purchase things? How do I research things? Because if Jesus is Lord of everything, he should be Lord of how we, what we purchase, our entertainment, all of this. So what do we do? Where do we find the goods and services that we need with people that are investing in America and, you know, where we're not supporting the Chinese enterprises?
Well, there are three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. Mm-hmm. In terms of your giving, you need to look at the place that you're giving to. Christians Engaged can be a great place
to give
to
money.
Give. But look at your alma mater.
Yeah.
Even look at your church. Make sure that your church is teaching the Word of God. I'm not asking people to not give money to the church, but I am going to encourage them, don't give money to those that may be deciding that they're going to profit from government policies like open borders. And there are a lot of Christian organizations, chinos, Christian in name only in some cases, that are receiving government money to bring people across the border that may be bad for our country, maybe bringing in drugs and fentanyl, maybe bringing in people that will be a threat to our nation. Mm-hmm. So check out where you're giving your money. Be very wary.
It's good.
Check out where you're spending your money. And we talked about PublicSquare.com and others that
I just found PublicSquare.com. It is amazing.
Yeah.
I know. You can look up anything and search for whatever you want, and you're going to find good American loving liberty minded companies.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And then on your investing, you need a financial advisor that can help you with it. That's why we train them at nsic.org. You can go there. We train them at Liberty University. It's in a biblical worldview, Judeo-Christian worldview, but we have Christians, we have people with Jewish background, we have Muslim background and so forth, but from a biblical worldview.
Yes.
And we train them on protecting the United States. We train them on protecting the values. Liberty. We train for liberty, security, and values.
So good.
And the vast majority of them are Bible-believing Christians. And the goal is to help people weaponize their money, giving, spending, and investing, to find the right places to invest, to help evaluate things. And as we train more and more across the country, we believe that they'll come together and they'll be sharing information. So that's what Liberty Hawk Ranch is for, is to help people weaponize their money and their liberty, security, and values.
So you can watch Kevin's show, Economic War Room, wherever you get your audio or video pods, on Blaze TV, other places, on the website, right?
Yeah, economicwarroom.com, and then it's on most of the podcast platforms. It is Blaze TV, as you mentioned, and if you subscribe there, use the code EWR.
EWR.
Then you can also see it on Liftable Media and XOTV and Rumble and YouTube, and we're actually linear in some on some stations in California, to where, you know, you go home on Thursday nights and turn on the TV and there's Economic War Room. So
that's
God's
awesome.
Really blessing us, and we're expanding, and we're so grateful. And then every episode, like you mentioned, comes with an economic battle plan.
Yes.
Which is it'll recap the show and give you action steps of what you should do about that. And then you'll learn about the projects like the Silver and Gold Project for Texas, or like the Artificial Intelligence Project, so that we can, as believers, fight back against Terminator, who's an AI that's trying to take over the country. Well, we can put some good algorithms out there that support godly things.
Well, Kevin Freeman, always trying to solve problems and do it from a biblical perspective, and that's why we love you. Thank you so much, Kevin, for being a part of this and really teaching us that we can't put our heads in the sands, guys. We have to really come to this with a biblical understanding and take our biblical worldviews and look at these real-world problems and see how we can impact our nation for good. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible podcast. What in the time we've had. We love you so much. We love being in your life. Have you subscribed? Have you shared this with your family and friends? Please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Rumble, wherever you get your audio or video pods. We need your help. This mission is undergirded by individuals just like you that support this ministry monthly, annually, and whenever you think about us, to be able to reach over 1 million Christians in the next 2 years. That's our goal. We want to empower 1 million Christians around America to pray, vote, and engage regularly. Will you help us? We're here to do that, and we need your help. I want to say thank you to our partners at The Stream. What an incredible online publication put out by James Robison and Life Outreach International. As we come together across denominational lines as believers to discern what God's saying about the news of the day and to hear from different viewpoints. Check out The Stream, make it your homepage, and get on their email list. This product is amazing. Also, our partners at Edify App, put out by Christian Post. This podcast app is a convergence of Bible teachers around America. We're excited to be a part of Edify App. Check out all their other podcasts. Thank you so much again for caring about this nation. We're here to help you pray, vote, and engage. We'll see you next week.